Hello everyone, welcome home. Welcome to the Talk with a Zombie and Child, hosted by me, Tevi Smart. And today, I have two new guests to help us with our topic. I have Gideon and Mary. We will know more about them later in the conversation, guys. But before we go any further, I would like to thank all of you, our listeners, that have been consistent in playing every episode of the podcast and sharing it with your friends, and the subscriptions that have been coming in. And if you are a new listener, we want to thank you for joining us and would advise you to listen to our other previous podcasts. And don't forget, you always need to stay hydrated throughout the whole podcast, come what may. You always need that bottle of water or that cup of coffee or that cup of tea, whichever beverage fits your preference. So before I even say anything more, guys, we know that last week we were discussing a very sensitive topic to students, elite graduate, how to top being a student at your own university or school, just to be the topmost in life. And we really learned good lessons. So today, to kick it off, we know that on Tuesday, it was the best day in Africa. It was African Freedoms Day, guys, and I was super excited. I don't know how you celebrated it, but I was super excited. I was all over the place. That was the time when we could showcased our Africanacity. We could just be who we were on that special day, and I feel we should live like that. So because of that, today we've got a very awesome topic for you guys. That's just discovering Africa. So our topic for today is Diary of an African Child. We're going to hear from two passionate people about Africa. We're gonna inquire and go in the deepest of places to find out, are we actually proud of being African, and how can we show it? So let's welcome our guest before we get lost in this whole introduction. Welcome Gideon and welcome Mary.
Thank you very much.
We are glad to have you on our podcast, and would you just introduce yourself to our audience? We could start with Mary.
Why me? Okay, I'm so excited right now. My name is Mary Kanawila. I'm a student at Hebron Horn College doing pharmacy, and I'm also a communication lead for Dawa Health, which is a digital platform that helps pregnant women. What else? I work with organizations, like so many organizations, talking about sexual reproductive health, climate change, entrepreneurship, and financial freedom. So basically, that's Mary.
That's good to hear from you, Mary. Guys, that is one hell of an interesting description.
Thank you.
And Gideon, could you introduce yourself to our audience?
Sure, thank you. So my name is Asiyame Gideon. I am an African, by the way.
Okay, thank you for stating that.
I'm currently doing my bachelor's degree in economics with development studies at the University of Zambia. And I'm a member of the PLO Foundation, which has its headquarters in Kenya. The PLO Foundation is a Pan-African organization. Yeah, so I'm a member of that group.
Okay.
That's great. Like, wow. Pan-Africanism. Okay.
Now we understand why this person is passionate about Africa. I mean, he's even in an organization where the headquarters are in Kenya.
Exactly. Wow. I'm like, wow.
Thank you for that description, Gideon. You said Gideon Ziyame, right?
Yeah, Gideon Ziyame.
That's good. So, guys, you've heard it first. So, we have two great Africans today, Mary Kanamwila and Gideon Ziyame. So, guys, we get right into our topic today. If you are out there listening, I would urge you to relax and breathe, because I'm telling you, the minds that I have today, even I am just exploded with so much. There's just so much happening in me waiting for what they would have to say. So let me just ask this, guys. When I had literally asked you guys to come through on the podcast, what was your first reaction?
Gideon, you can start.
I was actually waiting for you to start first.
No.
But anyway, so okay, I'll start. So I was super excited when you told me to feature on your podcast, because you told me we're going to talk about Africa, and I surely wouldn't turn down each and everything that has something to do with Africa. So I was super excited, and I'm really excited right now.
Okay, good to know.
Yeah, I think.
Okay, so I was also excited when you told me about it, because this was the first time someone told me to be part of a podcast. So I was like, wow, what am I supposed to say? How's the feeling? So it's a great exposure, and I love your initiative of making such podcasts to help people out there. It's amazing. You should continue.
Thank you very much for that uplift, Mary, and thank you for that kind of reaction, Gideon. I thought you guys were literally shocked, and you're just like, oh my gosh, is it necessary? But I'm glad that you had positivity to come on this podcast.
Yeah.
So whenever you guys are confronted with the word Africa, what does Africa mean to you? What is Africa? We could start with Gideon.
Okay, so let me start by saying is, like, being from Africa is the best thing that has ever happened to me. I don't just live on it all, but it's also home to my soul. I embrace everything that's African, and I love everything that has to do with Africa. So Africa to me is everything. Like, Africa to me is everything. Africa to me is my life. And my mind is surely based on Africa. Everything I talk about has to be connected with Africa. Even the clothes that I wear now, they have something to do with Africa.
Okay.
So it has brought a very big change to my life. Just the whole concept of talking about the word Africa has really brought a great change to my life.
That's good to hear. That's good to know. What have you, Mary?
There's just something amazing about Africa that is different from all these continents. The fact that when we look at our culture, our artistic ways of living, it's just so different from all these continents. It's very powerful, and it's amazing to the fact that we are very different and we cannot compare ourselves to the outside. So Africa is just something amazing to me.
Okay, so for the other person, Africa is their being, it's their soul. And for the other person, it's not compared to any other continent. That is a big challenge for someone listening to this outside of this continent. But we are glad to hear that's what Africa resonates to these guys. So, on the 25th, guys, it was Africa Freedom's Day. Before I even ask anything, how did you celebrate this day?
With me, I just got a new contract on something, so I was super excited about it. So on this day, it just brought a new seed in my life, so it was amazing.
Congrats for that, Mary.
Thank you.
Okay, so as for me, as I mentioned earlier, that or Lumumba organization.
Okay.
So on Tuesday, which was the actual Africa Freedom Day, there was a veto meeting while we were talking about Africa and the contribution of the young people in Africa, which was like for the whole day. We were taking breaks, and also literally I spent my whole day attending the meeting.
Okay.
Which was so productive.
That is amazing. Congrats, Oster, for being part of such a huge corporation that really looks at the heart of Africa.
Thank you very much.
We've seen that you both guys celebrated African Day differently, and we've seen that social media had all over the place. Had all over the place, a lot of people wearing chitenge, were showing art out. There was so much celebrations, families coming together, people going for outings, and that's really, really good to see that everybody was just out there embracing their color, their culture, their heritage, and the art that this world has to give. I'm saying the theme for this year's African Freedom Day was arts, culture, and heritage. Levers for building the Africa we want. Do you really believe we actually preserve these arts, culture, and heritage to actually make these as the pillars of building the Africa that we want?
With the revolution, I don't think we are putting in more effort to preserve our culture, our arts, our heritage, because we have the Western side embodied inside our in our African culture. So everything is just different. And as Africans, we're not putting in much effort to show the entire world that we are Africans. Because an example I would give you is, it's by respect that a lady is supposed to wear a chitenge if she's presented in front of her in-laws. But nowadays, you can find a lady wearing ripped jeans in front of the in-laws, and everyone is okay with it because they're not embracing our culture. So the Western part has taken so much of our culture to the extent where we fail to concentrate on who we are, and we want to be like people out there, which is a good thing. Because when you look at the leaders out there, people have made it in life. The billionaires, the millionaires, most of them are from the Western side. And people want to be financially free. By being financially free, they want to be like their mentors. It can be in music. Someone wants to be like Jay-Z. It can be in IT. Someone wants to be like Mark, you get. So people are changing to cope up with their desire of living, which has really turned a back on Africa and who we are.
Oh, okay. Gideon, what's your thought on that?
Yeah, so as Africans, we've not really embraced our culture and everything like that. Though there are countries right in Africa who have really shown the importance of culture. Let me give an example of Nigeria. Okay. So to talk about culture and arts in particular, I want to talk about identity and history in line with culture.
Okay.
So the first step in human development is to have a sense of their culture and know their history, so that no one would try to identity. The understanding of culture has misled a lot of people. Of course, with the coming of the whites, we have neglected our values. We have been told that African names like Kamau, Njoroge, Chipasha, or even Ijeoma are not Christian names, can never be Christian names. And then they brought us names like James, John, Gideon, etc., telling us those are Christian names. So that is the reason why, even today, because as a person, you cannot develop if you do not know your identity. So us neglecting our culture, it means there's nowhere we can go. I don't know how many of you have watched the the film Kunta Kinte. That guy Kunta Kinte, who was sold into slavery, he refused to be called by another name. They whipped him so hard, saying, "From now on, you're Toby," but refused. "I'm Kunta Kinte, and I'll hold my identity as Kunta Kinte." So the reason why people of Africa don't embrace their culture today, particularly the youths, is because we do not have a sense of our history. And you surely can't expect a society to develop when its young people know nothing about the society's history. As Marcus Garvey put it, a society with young people lacking a sense of their history is like a tree without roots, which will eventually die. So the young people today in Africa have to learn to embrace that which is theirs. Imagine Africa today. I posted something in April when it was President Kaunda's birthday. I posted something like, "Happy 97th birthday, Kaunda." And I had a lot of youths in Kenya inboxing me. We didn't know that there's fighters still around, those guys who met in the Addis Ababa conference. And I was so shocked. So, but look at the debates today. All the debates today about which song was a hit in J. Cole's recent album, which is so bad to the development of a continent like Africa. So,
You know, we cannot just blame Africans, like youths specifically, cannot just blame youths for the way things are. Where do you expect a youth to get information from when the older culture is more into worldly things, like is more into Western? I would say our governance, not really governance, our elders are not putting in much effort to show us who we are, to show us the culture. They're just sliding with the way life is, and they expect us to slide the same way. You don't expect a child to grow differently if the parents are not teaching the child how to grow.
Look,
we need people like you to keep advocating for that and become better Africans.
Yeah, you're right in saying that. But I think as children as well, as the youths, it depends on the type of things that we take interest into. For instance, no one came to me to tell me you should start learning about Africa or you should start learning about the cultures of Africa. I had to realize and start looking for pages which talk about, started looking for people. There are a lot of people in Africa that pontificate about the greatness and the importance of really being an African. So I think as youths, we just ought to change our mentality and develop that interest in reading a lot. Then that's it.
Okay, thank you for that. And I am really, really pleased that both of you actually taking part in this to advocate and always trying to make Africa better. So, from what I got from the concept of both of you guys, it seems we actually haven't preserved our arts, our culture, and our heritage. And it being this theme of these being pillars for us to build on Africa, it seems we are lacking in both. And from what I've heard from your views, it seems in order the way to preserve these things, we need to make sure we change our mentality, we start, let's say, associating as one, and start knowing about our history, and making sure we take time to visit our museum, to read our history, and to check out the people that we have. I'm trying to get my point from what Gideon said, right?
Yeah.
He said, we, like, people were so concentrated on Jekyll's album, but none of us have really concentrated on knowing about our history, trying to preserve the culture we have, trying to preserve the artifacts we have. We've got these Stone Age artifacts in Kasama. We've got these artifacts of Broken Hill Man. We've got our museum that less than 10% of the kids go and visit every year or every month. And we've got all this, but children are concentrated on the album that's coming out for Jacob. So my question is this. Do you believe we should first initiate a whole development within ourselves that whoever, whether they are black or anything, but they are not in Africa here, we should first let them slide while they're in America and concentrate on what we are having within our continent. Or we should still also support them because they are black.
So let me just clarify one thing. Okay. Me talking about J. Cole's new album means that I've listened to it. You understand?
Yes, we do.
But my problem is, why is it that they are only taking interest in one part of the world and not really paying attention to what is truly African?
No, okay.
You know, I've had individuals who don't play Zambian music and say, so I'm back on Mchizungu, forgetting that we have our own languages right here.
So Gideon, you're talking about having a balance, right?
You choosing English languages over those ones which are from Africa, that's actually neglecting your culture. So I am talking about a balance, because this world is very diverse and you have to have an idea in our sphere of influence. In each and everything, you have to have an idea.
That's
the problem with many youth today, because they have put all their concentration, let me say, on these same J. Cole's, the Chris Browns, the Lil Wayne's and everything.
Okay.
Yeah.
And Mary, you're about to add something?
Yes. I feel like the part where you said we have to not support the outsiders so that we can concentrate on ourselves won't work. We can, like he said, doing a balance. Let's embrace who we are and support our own that are outside. If we stop supporting Jekyll, who's like the songs that he plays, who are they going to be played for? Because I feel like half his target is Africa and other parts of the world. So if we stop supporting them, we'll just leave them like that and they'll be stranded. And as Africa, we are all about cooperation, supporting one another for us to be strong and to outstand. So I feel like it's just a 50-50. We have to embrace who we are and embrace our friends outside.
Yeah, it's about embracing who we are, but you have to understand that J. Cole is not only supported in Africa. Why is he staying right there?
Yeah, I said 50. I said his music is made for everyone. He makes music for Africans and other people out there.
And let us look at the percentage, maybe, of the people who are outside of Africa that listen to our music.
Okay.
I'm not really saying that we shouldn't be supporting, but you have to embrace what's yours first. That's when you can extend the support to the outsiders.
All right, I get your point.
That's the same when the Bible said you can't remove a speck of dust from your friend's eye when you have a speck of dust in your eye.
But we also have to look at the things that we have, what we are exposed to. We are so much exposed to social media. And every time I open Twitter, Facebook, Instagram, it's J. Cole. I won't see Kenneth Kaunda. You get. So even if I try so hard, even us like youths, we try so hard to diverse from J. Cole, all these, and localize our own. We don't have that platform. We need to create a platform for our own before we start talking about neglecting the other platform which is already available.
So each time you open Instagram, Facebook or Twitter, you come across the J. Cole's of this world, the something, because those are the things you like, those are the pages you like. If you come to me and open my Facebook, everything, there are different things that show.
I'm sure
Facebook brings the things that you like most. When pages, it brings the pages that you like, and those are the things that it will bring on your newsfeed thing.
Okay, so from this whole conversation, I have really gotten the fact that there's balance that's needed. Mary has come up with saying, okay, this is what we are finding, this is the media we are finding, and this is what I'm being exposed to. And you've come up with, okay, we should change, we should make sure we do this. And at the end of the day, there's this concept going, we should support each other as blacks. It's beyond our continent, it's beyond our what, but I've gotten from the concept where you said, if you can change what's near you, you can go and change it, what's so far away from you. So which means that we youth should first try by all means to create this platform for Africa to be celebrated. But at the end of the day, we should not neglect our fellow Blacks. We should not neglect our fellow counterparts out there, because at the end of the day, we can't start dividing each other within. We should learn to support one another.
Exactly.
Then from there, I think that's where my one question is. Why is it that the Black man, let me use the Black man, because I feel Africa is more diverse than that. And sometimes I think being African, sometimes some people are African, but they're not Black. It's descent of birth and everything. So the African being, why is it that the African being has got this thing of lack for supporting one another? Like, we've got this thing in Africa where, okay, if I'm growing, let's say my podcast, I'm giving an example, right? If I'm doing my podcast here, I should always just talk about my podcast. Like, I could never talk about someone else because I'm scared that people might go somewhere else and grow with that person. Why do you think Africans are lacking such a mentality of making sure while they are succeeding, they're also helping others succeed?
I think our mind is inside a box. Like, we are so much on what can I provide than what we can provide as a community. Once we put our mindset to what we can provide as a community through reading books, just like Givion says, if we start reading books, being exposed to things that can help us grow together, we can change that mindset. But the fact that, first of all, we want to be financially stable, so we'll try by all means. If I see my friend selling jeans, I'll be like, okay, let me also sell jeans. Maybe I'll be financially stable, you get. Instead of me supporting her, then discovering what I can do best myself, I'll end up trying other businesses that I'm not good at the end of the day, I will go down. So I feel like we just need to cooperate more, advocate more for cooperation than thinking selfishly of ourselves.
No, okay. But before I let you go, Mary, before Gideon answers, you said, let me just get this straight. You said the reason why we are lacking support is because of our mentality, right?
Yeah.
Okay. Gideon, anything to add?
Yeah, so this question is very deep because it's a question of history. You know, when Africa was still under, when Africa was still under the yoke of colonization.
Okay.
Yeah. There were artificial boundaries that were put in place. The colonizer was actually separating Africans, teaching the other group good things, European things, and leaving the other groups in the dark. So what used to happen then was that those people who started acquiring an education started viewing the others as being low when they were all Africans. So it all started in the 1930s, 1950s, 1940s, and 1960s, somewhere there. So it's a very big problem, which is supposed to be dealt with, but it's not going to be easy, because as Mary said, it's in our mentality now. It's in our behavioral DNA that you want to be on top of others always. You can't do things to really help each other like that. So it's really difficult to deal with these issues, but unity is the only solution to such problems.
Okay. I actually get where you're coming from. Because I believe there's this thing that happens. I'm one person who is always trying to make sure everybody's talent is really discovered. Even when I'm starting this podcast, I actually listed other Zambian podcasts for other people to listen to. But you find that there's this lack of support within one another. You find someone may be doing the work, then the other person isn't also even trying to do the work, because they all want just to succeed, to be on that top while leaving the other person behind, worse off than they are. And I know this is a mentality with heart, and just the fact that you've said we need to change and move a step forward is really something that I think we should all be in support of. Like, it starts from us, ourselves. We should all be saying, okay, you try to change to do this. We can't be expecting that the next person will change if we are not changing. So thank you for that part where you've covered.
And can I contribute something?
Yes, you may, Mary.
The other reason why it's like that, it's because we are lazy in Africa. We want someone to give you a plate of money, a plate of food. You don't want to work extra hard for it. If we look outside the books that I read, at the age of 10, you find a child is selling sweets out there so that they can have a something like pocket money or something. Now in Africa, you give a child to go sell sweets, even if they're financially stable at the place. Like, no, why should I say why should I go out there to sell sweets when dad will give me the money I want? So we need to be more hardworking in whatever we do than just relying on our dads to give us what we want. Let us think outside the box. Yeah.
Oh, I love that part of you where you're saying we need to be hardworking because there's this lazy mentality of, oh, my friends who see me do this, oh, exactly, they might think like I'm this. And that's one thing I think most of us are growing up with. And I'm glad, I hope everybody who listens to this gets to change that aspect and they get to share with their young brothers to actually change this aspect of where we are all just on a silver platter. We're going to receive from the whites about COVID-19 materials. We can't do them ourselves. We can make all of the vaccines, whatever. And I think that's something that has literally led us back.
And the other thing that has put us back is our education system. Our education system is just focused on a paid job. It's not focused on entrepreneurship, innovation, being creative. So that has really contributed as well.
Oh, okay. So our education system and all that. You have anything to add, Gideon?
No. I actually wanted to talk about the education system.
Oh, okay.
But is that the sense in which we have to re-engineer the entire education system in Africa? I think the current system we have is not really working for the people. You know, it's working in the sense that children are taught ability and all. So that has been a problem. I think we really need to change the education system, as Mary said. Yeah.
That's so true. Our education system is really teaching us about, okay, you need to get employment. You don't make your own job,
exactly.
No.
We have to appreciate the fact that life is changing, things are changing. At some point, education will be nothing because everyone will be educated, then what? Everyone has a 6 points, then what? There are no jobs around because people are not...
That's quite true. That's quite true. So, I think we've covered so much. And guys, this conversation is really so... really nice. If we could all have such conversations within our own groups, it would be nice to actually create such conversation and near how we can, because I've seen that there are so many great minds in Africa. That's why even this podcast, I believe I came up with it, because I saw such great minds. My friends had so many explosive ideas, but the education system tells them that stick to the book and do nothing beyond that book. You go to that. And it's really something that's really damaging them. And I'm glad you've actually covered the fact that we, as we are growing, we need to be able to create a system where we engineer everything.
True.
Yeah.
And you've also covered the part of white supremacy, where it's been part of us that now it's like something that we're actually following. But for someone who doesn't understand, what is white supremacy?
I'm gonna talk about something. It's all about history. When talking about Africa, there's a sense in which you need to understand the history of Africa first. So it all started with colonialism, while we were disadvantaged by these guys, they came to our own land and they had to rule us on our own soil. So to me, white supremacy is that situation where the colonizers were having an advantage over us,
No, okay.
Yeah, that's what it means.
Okay, it means they've taken control of our thoughts. They've put our thoughts into a box where their terms and conditions only applies to us, and what we want cannot be applied to them. And that has been going from generation to generation. It's in our DNA and has really killed us as Africa.
Okay.
Yeah, and as you've put it, Mary, it has really killed us. Just look at this. It's now, on Tuesday, we were celebrating Africa's Freedom Day. It's now 58 years after the creation of the Organization of African Unity, which is now the African Union. Huh?
Yes.
Africa has never been free.
True.
Africa has never been free.
Why is that and how?
We continue. Okay, if we really say Africa is free, what are we free from?
Exactly. No, thinking of it, yeah, what are we free from?
Because just look at our economies. They are dependent on what? On these other economies of maybe Asia, China, and all the countries in Europe, the USA, and all. So I think we still face the facing
the exploits
from European powers. Our economies depend on their economies. And see, now we are beginning to use their currencies in some parts of countries in Africa. Go to many countries in West Africa. They are using the CFA. That's the currency in France.
Okay.
Even Zimbabwe recently was using the USA dollar. And we are paying those guys for using their currency. So how are we free when we can't even have our own currencies? We have divisions in Africa because of the boundaries that were laid by Europeans. We have people calling themselves Francophone Africans, Anglophone Africans, Lusophone Africans. So what are we free from? And that surely takes away the peace, because these Francophone Africans, they say they are one group. These Lusophone Africans, they say they are another group. And these Anglophone Africans, they say they are a different group. So when they gather, they start fighting against each other, which brings up conflict and everything. So where is the peace and the freedom? Freedom is peace, and you're surely not able to provide for ourselves or run our economies, not being able to depend on them. That's when we will know that we are free. When there will be unity in Africa, that's when we will call it freedom, Africa's Freedom Day. That's when it will have a meaning.
Okay, that is well articulated by you, Gideon, and thank you for that. And you are really, really insightful about Africa not being free, because we've actually seen our copper prices on the market are determined by the whites. The people you get loans from are the whites. The people who literally give you the justice system are the whites. So particularly the whole regime of Africa is actually, it's like you say, let me say, like how they say that your parents, your mom and your dad have divorced, right? Mm-hmm. But your dad still has got that touch in the house. He still has got that, like, that karoo over you guys. Like, it's something where you're not separated. It seems like the whole world seems like we're separated, but at the end of the day, we're actually still stuck together.
Yeah, exactly.
So, and thank you for that insight on how. So, you said you've talked about Africa not being free and really white supremacy taking over. So what do you think, what steps could we as a generation, as the so-called Gen Z generation, do to make Africa be free? Or what steps could we take to make sure Africa becomes one of the biggest, richest continent in the world?
Let me start.
Okay.
It's just simple. It's just hard work. That's all. Let's just work hard. Let's not be dependent on the things that the whites give us. we are so dependent on the donations that we get. If we want to develop, we have to wait for a donation of money, donation of clothes, donation of things for us to go out there. Let's just be hardworking as Africa. If we work hard, everything will change. Let's us cooperate, help one another, support one another, and be very hardworking.
Okay, thank you for that insight, Mary. Gideon, what's your thought?
Okay, so Mary has said it very well. It's about hard work. Remember, it was the primary rule since creation. God said, man, from the sweat of thy brow, you shall eat.
Okay.
So it's really about hard work that will make sure Africa really realize a potential. And one thing, you know, Africa is a fragile continent, huh?
Yep.
What Europe and America can stand, having gone through different phases of technological change, Africa cannot survive. And even though countries in Africa as big, maybe twice as big as certain countries in Europe, there is a sense in which we have to work together as Africans. And now, back to 1963, in the month of May, that from the 23rd of May to the 25th of May, in Addis Ababa, Ethiopia, when the then 32 leaders of the Free African States met, you know, a lot of them talked about unity and freedom, but I think Kwame Nkrumah was right, and it's the only speech that I'll isolate. You know, Kwame Nkrumah said, let us unite and form the United States of Africa. We shall have one currency, we shall have one central government, and we shall have one capital, so that we make Africa a country and which has 55 states. Because if we don't, the colonizers will come back with plans like the neocolonialism, which we see now taking root in a lot of African countries. But even prior to that, there were things which had already been happening, bad things which had already been happening because of the lack of support among Africans to develop our continent and our countries. Remember in 1961 when Togo was rising, in 1960 particularly, when Togo was rising, its president, who was the first president of Togo? Sylvanus Olympio, the then president of Togo in 1961. He was eliminated because he had started showing potential for the development of Togo. 1 year later, in 1961, Patrice Emery Lumumba of Congo was also killed. So unity as well is important to make sure Africa develops, and hard work, together with hard work. Africa, Zambia on its own cannot develop. It needs the help with other countries because we are still backward nations, and on our own we can't, no matter how hard we work. We still need each other as Africans.
And also good governance. Let's not forget it. Good governance really has a say on how we will develop in Africa or in Zambia. If we have corrupted leaders, we are going nowhere. Our hard work will go nowhere. So make sure, as we are voting in August, we do the right things.
Yeah, so the question of governance, as you have said, another problem in Africa is a failure of leadership.
Okay.
There have been a lot of talks about corruption, saying corruption is actually the problem in Africa, but the main problem, let me tell you today, is a failure of leadership.
True.
Corruption is just a manifestation of that failure of leadership. Because why do people engage in corruption? Because they have no agenda for their people. They get into office so that they may have prestige, that they may acquire each and every thing that they want, but they don't really have the heart for their people. That's how corruption comes about. But if we have leaders who are true crusaders for the agenda of their countries, then Africa would be okay.
Okay. Thank you for those insightful answers, Gideon. But okay, let me take you, both of you guys have literally covered governance. So before I even let you go with that question, let me just try to add on a question. In Africa, I think we've seen this everywhere. Citizens, whenever they get their NRIC, they get their voters card, they say they're patriotic citizens, right?
Yes.
But we see that particularly patriotism is put aside when it comes to political parties. Why is that most of us Africans are putting our political parties over our Africanism? Why is it that we have, let's say, our political parties are coming first, like they're coming before everything of Africa? We're announcing each other over which political party are you supporting. No, me, I can support your business. This political party you're supporting, I don't like it. Why are we doing this to ourselves? Why is that?
Selfishness. Like, we are tired of our leaders being there to steal from us, and now we'll be like, I had a friend of mine who is saying, ah, it's okay, let them just continue stealing, even as we just start stealing, because there's nothing we can do. If our leaders, that's the way they're going, let's just follow them. You get the mindset that we are developing as Africans, or specific Zambians. The way things are moving are not right, and people are tired of it. So they're just trying to, they're now following the footsteps of the wrongdoings for them to survive. A good business cannot grow on its own in Zambia. We all know that. We need corruption. We need a certain political party to come and tell you, okay, advocate for me, then I'll invest. If you want to advocate for me, I want to invest. What can you do? You want to survive. You will go with the flow so that you can survive. At the end of the day, you have bills to pay. You have children to take to school and all that. So the mindset is changing.
So, Mary, before I even let Gideon add on, so what do you think, what could we people do as different, where we start seeing each other as people than as political parties?
We need to come together, work extra hard for our own money, not expecting someone to donate money so that I can, you know, make it in life. The moment we just start cooperating, working hard, everything will change.
No, okay, thank you for that. Gideon, what are your thoughts on the first and the latter question?
Yeah, so the problem now, this thing of saying I can't support this political party because of this and this, I can't do this because of this and this, it's ethnicity. Okay. Let me just give you an example. We know the situation in Zambia about political parties, and all. Let me talk about the two main political parties in our country right now.
Yep.
So we have this other part, we have this other political party, the UPND, having its support from the southern part of the country and the western. And then we have the other political party, the other side of the country. So this question has to do with negative ethnicity. And once we deal with a ghost of negative ethnicity, then all these problems will be cleared. You know, we've had people saying, no, I can't vote for Tongas because I can't vote for HH. I'm sorry for mentioning this, but I'm just giving it as an example. I don't want to be political right now.
Yep.
I've had people saying, I can't vote for HH because he's a Tonga and Tongas are tribalists. So are you sure, you telling me that you can't vote for Tongas because Tongas are this? Are you not being a tribalist yourself by saying that?
Okay.
So it's a question of ethnic groups, and though we have to realize that we are one people, and we cannot have the same ethnic groups, and we cannot have the same minds as to which political party I'm supposed to belong to. we have to accept that. But at the end of the day, we are all Zambians. We need to embrace each other to make sure this country develops.
Thank you for that. Thank you for that insight. I'm glad you guys have covered why, if Africa is really free, you've covered ways we could make it free. You've covered how we could keep our arts together, our heritage. You've covered almost all the questions we've had. So we've got this one last question for you guys. We've seen that the Western world has most of its revenue, not from agriculture, not from transport service, but most of its revenue is coming from the media industry, the film industry, the music industry, the what industry. Then I remember this when we were watching Junior President, when it was being aired on ZNBC, one boy by the name of Wellington came through and was asked, what would you do as a president? What would you change? He said, I would invest in the film industry because I know if we televise that, we could get revenue from that. Then one man commented, you boy are stupid. The film industry is worthless. It can bring us anything. But we've seen that the large part of revenue from these other countries is from this. And we've seen that history has taught us a lesson through Nigeria. Nigeria had the worst time when oil prices were as low, but they survived through the film industry. Why has Africa sidelined the media industry for so long, which is such a potential of acquiring revenue?
This comes back to identity. Just like Givion said, we have to know who we are and what we are good at. Once you know what you're good at, you generate money. So Nigerians, they have discovered they're good at acting. That's the reason why they have revenue, including South Africa. The music, they're good at it. That's the reason why they're making money out of it. In most countries in Africa, we don't know what we're good at. In Zambia, we're good at copper. But are we putting more effort in making sure that copper is bringing out the money that we need? Kenya is good at tourism. And they've put so much effort in it, and it's bringing money in their country. So we need to identify what we are good at and put more effort and hard work into it to make it out there, to bring it, for it to bring life into our lives.
Oh, okay, thank you for that. Gideon, what are your thoughts on that?
Yeah, that's very nice, first, Mary, I must say. I'm really happy that you had to say that because it was part of what I had to say.
Thank you.
So, you know, Africans before in the regaining their independence had no access to opportunities except for a few. So I'm just walking you through a process. Let's take Botswana as an example. Yeah, the country had like less than 100 university graduates countrywide, and less than 1% of the entire population had completed primary education. So the main reason why the film industry has not been given much concentration in a lot of parts of in a lot of countries in Africa is because the early people lacked an education. If you look at the film industry in these other parts of the world, it started from way back. The time we were planning about regaining our independence, those guys were doing those things. And the growing slowly, they've been growing slowly, and now they've eventually succeeded in that in that sector of the economy because they started a long time ago and they've had much time to improve on what they do. So in Nigeria and South Africa, we had individuals who had been sent to go acquire European education, which they used to good effect. Remember the first radio station and newspaper, newspaper printing by newspaper printing station by blacks was in Nigeria.
Okay,
that's good to me.
And it was people like Nnamdi Azikiwe, the first president of Nigeria. We had Wole Soyinka and Obafemi Awolowo. Similarly, in South Africa, we remember the works of the founder of the African National Congress, Pixley Kaisa Kaseme. These guys began such works at an early stage. which has been growing over the years till today. Though we are starting to see, but you must agree with me that we are starting to see an integration in the film industry in these other parts of Africa. Even Zambia, yes, I'm happy with the works that Zambia is doing. So the main problem now takes us way back when we were regaining our independence. We really took long to start working on these things. So I have hope that the film industry will grow in all parts of Africa, because I'm beginning to see a change and I'm so positive about it.
Thank you for that. Let me just, last but not the least, I know that was the last question, but from what you said, the printing, the writing, there's this thing I've discovered amongst us Africans. Somebody, I was telling my friend one day, I was like, I was reading a book, a book concerning Kwame Nkrumah, and it was a very nice book. She'd go and read it, and someone just goes like, reading is boring. I can't do that. I'm like, why is our generation, all of it, able to read a whole full comment, a whole long comment of arguments on social media, but can't take up one page of a book and literally engrave themselves in reading? Because there's this thing that's been going on for a long time. If you want to hide something from a black man, put it in a book. Why is it that, and how can we improve?
Okay, so we are lazy. That's just one thing. We are lazy. And also when it comes to interests, the things that we are interested in is gossiping, what's trending out there. What did AKA post about his wife's death and all that, you get? So we need to shift our interests into things that will benefit us. Most of the things that we see on social media, we focus on, they do not benefit us. Quite right. I'll read a long story, a comment about how Kim Kardashian is doing in law school and all that, but how is it going to help me develop? So we need to divest, to be more interested in things that are going to help us grow. Yeah.
Oh, okay. Gideon, your thoughts?
Laziness. It's the only word and it's the only answer to that question. We are lazy and we don't read. That's all.
So how can we change it?
I was saying it's not going to be easy, because a lot of people... So the easiest way, and the show...
to equip people with the mentality of that of
reading books and everything, it's just by advocating about the importance of reading. There's nothing we can do but tell the people, talk to them about the importance of reading and everything. There are a lot of Africans who are doing great things now, telling people about how there are a lot of people advocating right now.
Okay.
And it's really, so the only surest way of us changing the mindset of the people is us advocating. Since for us who know the truth, we have to sell the information. For something to happen, you have to have an idea and sell the information to others. So if I know about something, I need to talk to it. I need to tell it to a certain group of people.
Okay.
And if that certain group of people, maybe two of that group, maybe two people in those groups who actually embrace what I tell them, they'll also go share it with someone.
Okay.
So advocacy, advocating for such things is the most important. You must sell the information, because you can't keep the information to yourself. And this is true, even the whole concept of religion, and there was a buy-in. Spreading the message. That's what saw Christianity spread over a period of 2000 years. The prophet Muhammad, again, he said he went to the mountain and he was given something, Ikra, read. And when he read, he went to Mecca, he tried to say it. He never saw it very well. He went to Medina, and ultimately Islam spread. So advocacy and telling people, don't just keep information to yourself. Whatever you know, preach it out there. Then we'll be okay.
Thank you for that. And Mary, you were about to say something.
Yeah, I wanted to say the good thing about reading books, there is this new thing that's called audiobook. So you don't have to read, you just have to start listening to a book. they'll read the book for you from the beginning to the end. So for people who are lazy, we have audio book as well.
Okay, thank you for that insight, guys. You've heard. If you are lazy to read one book, pick up that hard copy or that soft copy. Even have audio books that are being offered to you on the net. Media has got everything. It's about how you use it and how you take it. So, guys, thank you very much. I had the best conversation with you. I really enjoyed every piece of the moment. And that's how we come to the end of our questions. But before I could ask you to give your closing remarks or anything, we need you to recommend to us a book to read on this Friday and a movie to watch. We could start with you, Mary.
Okay. So a book that I would recommend is The Smart Money Woman. It's a Nigerian book. It's really nice. Okay. It talks about how a young lady can be financially free using our own abilities and knowledge to be free, not depending on a guy's pocket. Then a movie I would recommend is Knives Out. Yeah, Knives Out. It's a really, really nice mystery book. Like, it has the intelligence part in it. You just don't have to sit and watch. You have to be thinking as you are watching what will happen next. It's a really nice movie.
So we've listened to her. She said The Smart Woman.
Yes, The Smart Money Woman.
So I've listened. The book is The Smart Money Woman and the movie is Knives Out. I've watched Knives Out 5 times, guys. You need to watch it.
I thought I was the only one.
You need to go and watch it. Gideon, your recommendation.
Yeah, so I'm recommending 2 books, by the way.
Yeah, you may.
One is called Decolonizing the Mind by Kenya's Ngugi wa Thiong'o.
I love that man, thank you.
And the other one is called Miseducation of the Negro by Carter G. Wilson.
I need to read that book.
Need to read that book.
You really have to. They are great books. And okay. About the movie, I'm recommending some documentary by a Kenyan professor Ali Mazurui. It's called The Africans: A Triple Heritage. Like it's some documentary which talks about the history of Africa and everything.
Thank you for that. So
it's really nice. Everyone to listen to it. Everyone that loves Africa to listen to watch that.
So thank you for those 2 recommendations of the books. Guys, if you have never read any book by Ngugi wa Thiong'o, guys, you need to start reading now. Because those books are just so good, I'm telling you. African books are really, really good. If you actually just take time and sit down, they are so insightful. And you get to learn about your culture, your heritage, and the culture of other African countries within those books. So if you please take a moment and read, it would be very, very good. And let's check out the documentary that Gideon has recommended. And if any of these books, if you haven't heard any of these books or movies, check in our description box, as all that will be written down for you. So guys, give us your closing remarks. Although we are sad to have you to go, but... what are your closing remarks?
Give your start.
Okay, Mary, thanks. Please want me to start. So, I'm on the young people because I'm really interested about the young people. Because we are the leaders, not just the future leaders, but the leaders of today.
Yep.
So I just want to mention a few things that we must do away with. We must do away with low self-esteem in order to be a great people with meaning.
Okay.
We must do away with megalomania. We must do away with kleptomania.
Those words, what do they mean, Gideon?
Exactly. I also don't know what they mean. I'm writing them down so that I can Google them. I'm like, okay.
We also have to do away with negative ethnicity. We must do away with castigating things simply because you don't like them.
Okay.
And we must also do away with giving favors simply because we know the people. Favors are supposed to be given on merit, are supposed to be given on merit. And last but not the least, we must avoid temptations of the five P's. The world everywhere today is busy broadcasting this temptation of the five P's.
What five P's?
So avoid being the victim of the first P. The first P is power. Avoid being the victim of the second P, popularity. Avoid being the victim of the third P, prestige. Avoid being the victim of the fourth P, property. And avoid being the victim of the last P, pomposity. And if we really live by such ideals, we will eventually be a civilization with a great future. But this is not for the faint-hearted. It's not for those who look for instant coffee solutions. For Africa to be great, it will take a lot of time. For Africa to develop, it will take a lot of time. This is for those who really understand that the generation that plants the tree is different from the generation that waters it, which is also different from the generation that actually enjoys the fruits. So in conclusion, 100 years time is my projection on African development and unity in the manner that we deserve. Thank you.
Wow.
Thank you for those last words, Gideon.
Wow.
We're really happy for those closing remarks. We just hope we could talk to you the whole day.
Exactly.
Time is a limitation.
Thank you very much.
And Mary, what are your closing remarks for us?
I would urge everyone out there to be prayerful. Let us be mindful of who we are. Let's identify what we are good at so that we can put our entire energy there and make a good profit out of it. Let us be hardworking. Let us help each other. Cooperation is the way forward in unity. Yeah, that's all.
Thank you for that. Thank you for those closing remarks, guys. You are amazing. You are just great. But guys, we know whenever two guests give their closing remarks, what time it is, it's game time. This is the only time we take our counterparts against each other to see who really knows Zambia or Africa better.
So,
I have a feeling Gideon is going to win.
Okay, so today we've got a twist to our game. Instead of giving you hints, we're going to check you on how you can do well with true or false.
Okay.
Then we're going to visit places. Then to break the ice and everything, we're going to give you an African riddle. So we begin with our first question.
Mm-hmm.
True or false? Africa is the second largest continent.
True.
Gideon, 1 point to Gideon, 0 point to Mary.
Okay.
Second question. Africa, true or false, Africa is the source of the world's largest river.
That's a guess, but true.
True.
1 point to Gideon, 1 point to Mary.
Okay.
True or false, the elephant is the largest, tallest, fastest animal from Africa.
True.
False.
2 points to Mary, 0 point to Gideon. So they are now close to each other, guys. They are 2-2 now. The answer is true. Mary is right. True or false, The world's largest desert is in Asia.
Pause.
True.
1 point to Gideon, 0 point to Mary. Gideon is taking the lead again. Now we go to places. Today we're going to go to three African places. And these three African places have got three African wonders. These wonders are the Red Sea Reef, Mount Kilimanjaro, and Sahara Desert. What are these three African continents that we're going to today?
Kenya.
So Mount Kilimanjaro, no. Kenya.
No, wrong. They are both wrong. So on the Mount Kilimanjaro, they are also only remaining with Red Sea and Sahara Desert.
Oh my God.
Egypt?
Egypt for? Egypt for what?
For the Red Sea. Egypt for the Red Sea.
Yeah.
Okay.
Red Sea.
1 point to both of you.
But no, I'm the one who said Egypt. He did not say Egypt. It's me.
Because I knew the answer anyway.
The Sahara Desert.
Sahara Desert. Namibia.
Wrong?
Oh my God.
So you guys. Sahara Desert, it's either Morocco or Tunisia. Mount Kilimanjaro is Tanzania.
Oh, okay.
Yep. Then, which park in Africa, specifically in South Africa, is the largest game reserve with almost all animals?
Cape Town Park?
No.
No idea.
It's the Kruger National Park.
Oh my God.
Okay.
So, Gideon has 4 points at the moment and Mary has three.
I'm winning.
Let's see from the reader who gets to win.
But for Egypt, I'm the one who won, not Gideon.
No,
okay,
I knew
guys. To give a fair chance, they both have 3 points.
Exactly. Thank you.
So this riddle will decide who gets to win. The riddle goes like,
okay,
two doors are opening and closing at the same time, but they are not doors of my house. What are they?
The eyes.
Correct. Gideon has won the game.
I did not hear the
So Gideon has won the game. I was really glad to have you guys on our podcast and would love to have another conversation with you anytime. So we have to say bye to our guests.
And we'll be open to. I would really want to feature again on the podcast.
We'll be glad to have you again, Gideon.
This has been amazing. I had such a wonderful time. And next time, don't hesitate, you can call me again.
Okay, guys, we had so much fun with you. So, to all of you, our listeners and our viewers and your audience, thank you for joining us on this other Friday exciting episode. It's still morning, and I'm not sure where you are. If you're out of Africa, it may be afternoon, it may be evening, whatever time you're in. Go to our Instagram page or email us at the talk with the Zambian child 21@gmail.com and give us your feedback. What does Africa really mean to you? Do you believe Africa is really free? And what other development aspects would Africa take in order to become great? We await your answers and we love you all and we say stay connected. Don't forget to subscribe. Don't forget to share this episode with every friend of yours that you know. Let us keep the Zambian flag high. Let us keep the African continent on its highest peak as Africans. So to all of you, our viewers, and to our two guests, Mary Kanamwila and Gideon Siame, we are saying bye, everyone.